Welcome everyone. Father Rocca here from St. Mark Parish. Good to be with you. This past Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, our scripture readings, both at the Sunday Mass and our weekday readings at Mass, now shift in their focus from upon ourselves and our trying to imitate Christ and be more like Him through prayer, fasting, almsgiving, through reconciliation, conversion of heart, etc. We shift from our efforts in growing in holiness to who this Jesus is and who is His Father, that He has a unique relationship with it. So the gospel we had this past Sunday was the prodigal son from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. I would like to read this gospel once again, and then offer some further reflections on this gospel about the prodigal son. So we read in chapter 15, tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older son became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' The father said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" A scriptures commentator I once read suggested that instead of calling today's gospel parable, as many do, the story of the prodigal son, a more apt title would be the story of the prodigal father. Now that suggestion led me to look up the word prodigal a number of years ago in the dictionary. Remember when we had those? I found it interesting this past week when I asked a number of people, even students in theology, if they knew what the word prodigal meant, very few really knew for sure. Some thought it meant repentant, others forgiving. Neither meaning, however, appears in the dictionary, which proposes two very different definitions of the word, one negative and the other positive. Prodigal can mean either exceedingly or recklessly wasteful or extremely generous. Let's see who better fits the point of Jesus' parable, the younger son or his father. Now, on first reading, this parable may appear to be a story about an exceedingly recklessly wasteful younger brother who loses everything and who, when forced to tend pigs, decides to return home and hope for the best. Note that the son decides to return home not because he's particularly contrite about what he has done, but because even the servants eat better there. Note that there is not a syllable about "what I have done is terrible," or "I have offended my father." Not a syllable. The only motive is, "even my father's servants eat better than I do." And so the son rehearses his speech that he will say to his father. And so the younger brother returns home to an understanding, to say the very least, and loving father who throws a wonderful party in his honor, thus bringing the story to a wonderful climax and conclusion. Right? Wrong. For in fact, we know the story continues. The real climax, and hence the real point of the story, is to come. The elder son, the obedient son, the hard-working son, the self-righteous son, discovers that he is recklessly wasteful younger brother, has returned home after losing his share of the inheritance, and that his father, acting as if nothing had happened, throws a party in his honor. The elder son is furious. "How could my father be so foolish, so outlandish, so ridiculous, so hopelessly irresponsible, so unfair, so prodigal, generous toward that good-for-nothing brother of mine? It's not just. It's not fair." Now comes what the whole story has been leading to, the all-important last part of the story's climax, the conversation between the elder son and his father. The elder son, full of bitterness and anger, says to his father, "Listen, I've worked and slaved for you all my life. I've obeyed all your orders, yet you never threw a party in my honor for being a good son. But when this son of yours returns after having squandered his inheritance, living an immoral life, you welcome him back with a party. It's not fair. It's not just." "My son," replies the father, "you are with me always, and all I have is yours. This brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found. We had to celebrate and rejoice." End of the story. So, what is this story really about? If the climax of the story means anything, then this parable of Jesus is less about the exceedingly reckless and wasteful younger brother than trying to fathom what we can possibly mean by the Father of Jesus, a God who is exceedingly generous in bestowing love and forgiveness, grace and mercy, a God exceedingly prodigal. And how different our God is from us. Because we often think of God in human terms, in terms of justice, fairness. But this parable reminds us, as much as we might not like it, that our God, our Father in heaven, thinks not in terms of justice, but in terms of pure, simple, absolute gift of himself. God thinks in terms of love. And so if you say, "Well, that's not fair," God will say, "Yes, that may be so, but who's talking fair? I'm talking love." Now, how many of us have had similar experiences? The sibling who sacrifices everything to care for an elderly parent, only to find out that all the children received equal amounts from the estate. Or the sibling who assumes responsibility for the family business when some siblings just want a share of the profits. Or the sibling who lives a carefree life only to reappear when options run dry. Isn't resentment their due? Or think of our feelings whenever we wrestle with family resentments, which can run very deep. We might recall a time when we've been hurt or ignored. Children often grow resentful about how their parents raised them, and parents grow disappointed in children who fail to meet their expectations. Bitter sibling rivalry is not uncommon. Anything related to money, like wills and inheritance, can lead to resentment, as can religion or politics. And then there are issues with in-laws. No need, perhaps, to elaborate there. And so this story of the prodigal son, the prodigal father, still confronts us 2,000 years later to say, right you are. Whatever made you think God was fair, God isn't fair. God is love. And so I suggest that we all take this terribly important thing for us to hear at this point in Lent. Because there is an immense danger with Lent, as there is with anything great, important, and sacred. And the danger is that we will think of this Lent as our time to get back into God's good graces, as our opportunity, sinful people that we are, to make it up to God by penance, by fasting, by almsgiving. Now, penance, fasting, and almsgiving are absolutely wonderful, terribly important in the Christian life, but they're not the means by which we induce God to love us. We were never out of God's good graces. We may not have chosen to accept God's grace. We may not have chosen to celebrate God's grace. We may have chosen not to notice God's grace. But one cannot lose God's grace because, you see, that's just what God is like. What brings us back to God is not that God changes his mind about us, but that we change our mind about ourselves and therefore begin to see ourselves as God sees us, as infinitely lovable, as infinitely valuable, as the ones to whom God gives his very self. That's what makes us Christian and not Pharisees. And so I suggest, as we come to the latter half of Lent, that's what we begin to celebrate more and more deeply. The wild overindulgence of a parent, a heavenly father, who is simply nuts about us, a God who is so in love with God's creation that he runs down the road to meet it, a God who, if you give him just a fraction of a chance, throws a party for you, a God who obviously sees that when one is lost and found, one was dead and is now alive, there's only one possibility. Let's celebrate. Thank you. God's blessing upon you all. Have a wonderful day.